Spirit Blade Underground, March 12, 2011.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, March 12, 2011.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Speaking of which, let's get into updates.
File access. Updates.
Well, part two of the two-part video that takes you behind the scenes to a recording session with Spirit Blade actor Randy Hessen, the voice of Vincent Kraft in the Spirit Blade trilogy and the voice of Vanger in the Pilgrim's Progress series. That video is up now at spiritblade.net/videos, so you can see both parts of that two-part behind-the-scenes, fly-on-the-wall look at our recording sessions. You kind of get a sense of how I work with actors and how we troubleshoot the script even while we're recording, and there's plenty of goofing off to be had as well. Spiritblade.net/videos to check that out. Also, at the forums, at spiritblade.net/forums, we just put, actually it was Brandon Butler, I gotta give props to. He's the kind of the tech ad, he's the tech admin at the forums, and he just added a chat box to the forums. So now anytime you want, you can pop in, see if anybody's there, and just strike up a live conversation at spiritblade.net/forums. Just go there and scroll down to the bottom of the screen, log in to the chat box, and away you go. We're actually going to be using it for an event coming up. I'll get to that in a second, though. Let's see, Road Trip Reduction Sale. It's going on right now at the Spirit Blade store, spiritblade.net. 30% off all digital download products through Saturday, March 19th. 30% off. This is the last week. We've been doing this for a week, and it's going to go for one more week. The last day to take advantage, Saturday, March 19th. Just to give you some perspective, Spirit Blade Special Edition and Spirit Blade Dark Ritual at 30% off can be purchased right now for $6.99 each, and Pilgrim's Progress, Similitude of a Dream can be downloaded for just $3.49. And you can download all three of our audio dramas for just $17.47. That's tax-free. That's all you pay. That's it. $17.47 for our main collection of audio dramas. So you can also get the song bundles for Spirit Blade Special Edition or Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, just $3.49 a piece. These are some of the biggest savings you're going to see all year in our store. So spread the word and don't miss out. Again, spiritblade.net. is where you'll find our store. 30% off all digital downloads. Today on the show, I review Battle LA and have a book review for you guys that was submitted by Chris H. that I'm excited to share with you for the book The Truth Is Out There by Thomas Bertineau and Kim Paffenroth. Very cool review. We're also going to look at the two paths a Christian can take in any given moment, as kind of described in Romans chapter 8. And I've also got some messages from you guys that I get to respond to again this week, so let's do it!
Primary feature.
Book review. Movie review.
Activated.
Hi, my name is Christopher Hutton, and I will be reviewing the book The Truth Is Out There, Christian Faith and Classic Science Fiction Television. Written by Thomas Bertineau and Kim Paffenroth. The premise of the book is very simple. Specific TV shows have specific theological concepts that constantly appear within them. In this book, the authors take whole chapters just to explore these concepts within these specific shows. For example, the chapter on Doctor Who explores the existence of false gods, while the chapter on The Twilight Zone explores the evil nature of humanity. The book covers six specific TV shows. These include Doctor Who, The Prisoner, X-Files, The Twilight Zone, Star Trek, and Babylon 5. Now, you don't need to know everything about these shows. However, having a basic understanding of what's what and who's who will help you to understand the important implications. Specific chapters are dedicated to specific episodes and dialogues, and those can make those kind of hard to read. But if you can dig through that, you will find a lot of truth within them. The book itself is written in a very academic manner. Some have compared the book to a college textbook. Nevertheless, if you're a hardcore science fiction fan and you like one of these shows in particular, then I highly recommend that you pick up one of these books. They are well worth your time and your money. Now, my one problem with this book is that is the beginning and the ending chapters. These chapters are attempting to illustrate why science fiction is worth watching, and they do a semi-good job, but to do it, they have to reference obscure Greek fiction that none of us have ever heard of, and so that makes it kind of hard to really connect or really care about. Nevertheless, as long as you agree with them that science fiction has truth within it, the rest of the chapters are a piece of cake to read. Now, what about the relevance of this book? If you're a science fiction fan, then you will probably understand at least what happens in these stories. But if you're also a person who understands both theology and philosophy, then you will get a heck of a lot more out of this book. The chapters in concentrating on the concepts make it easy for us to pick out certain episodes and talk about with them with friends. For example, in the Doctor Who chapter, they specifically concentrate on two or three different episodes that concentrate on the existence of false religions. So, when they do that, all you have to do is pick up those episodes, play them, watch them with a friend, and voila, you have a conversation ready to go. Also, any of the general concepts can be used to begin a conversation about the gospel, though none of the concepts themselves illustrate the full capacity of what the gospel is. And that is important. This book is not a supplementation for the gospel or for a false theology. However, it brings out aspects of biblical truth and inserts them into old science fiction that you may watch with friends, family, or coworkers. So in conclusion, what's my final review? This book is an 8.5 out of 10. The book is actually really fun and really educational to read. However, the academic language can definitely make it a more difficult read for certain people. Also, the relevancy gets a 9 out of 10 for all of the concepts here are relatable to both the gospel and to conversation. But that'll do it for me. Thanks again to Peter Franson for allowing me to do this review. If you wish to find me online, my website is literary-views.com. There you'll find my podcast, Literary Views, as well as other important information. Thanks again for listening, and back to you, Peter.
Thanks for sending that in, Chris. Great review. Okay, the podcast a little late this week because I spent a day out with my family and kind of shifted everything back in my schedule, but I did get around to seeing Battle Los Angeles. After seeing just one trailer for Battle Los Angeles, I didn't want to see any more. It looked like a movie I didn't want to spoil by seeing too much of in advance. And I was right. Aaron Eckhart leads the cast as U.S. Marine Staff Sergeant Michael Nance. He's had a long career, but his last mission ended terribly, haunting him with the death of the men he led. Despite preparing to retire, he's kept on when mysterious meteorites striking Earth turn out to be the first wave of an invasion force. The story follows Nance as he is placed back into the uncomfortable and weighty role of leadership amidst this relentless, unstoppable threat. Further complicating matters is the fact that he has a reputation, deserved or not, among the Marines he's leading, for letting those he leads die in combat. Now, right from the start, I sensed this movie was making some good moves by introducing us to the ensemble cast, and Nance in particular. These were not meant to be a series of ranks and last names, but people with families, fears, and dreams. Too often, genre movies like this or horror movies are concept-driven rather than character-driven, so I appreciate when a movie like this aims to make characters a core value, since doing so adds to the mounting tension that genre films are often so desperately trying to capture in the first place, and they seem to kind of miss the fact a lot of the time that you can really get that tension you're looking for by investing more in the characters. And speaking of tension, this movie rarely lets up. After the first 15 to 20 minutes of setup, the literally explosive pace offers few opportunities to catch your breath. Despite some sci-fi trappings of an alien invasion, this movie feels mostly like a military combat action flick. There's not like a bunch of laser guns and, you know, stuff like that. Explosions and gunfire create firestorms of chaos for the viewer, and the sound design places us in the middle of the action with bullets flying in surround sound. There were moments in there where I felt a little bit like that first beach scene, invasion scene in Saving Private Ryan, where there's just bullets whizzing everywhere. You feel like you're in the middle of it, and you're like, oh, crap, and you start curling up in your seat a little bit. The shaky cam effect is used quite a bit as well to keep us, as viewers, from getting settled. Often, I think this effect can be abused, often used to hide poor special effects or uncreatively coordinated action scenes. That's where I've seen it more lately. Really frustrating. But here, it works. It builds the tension as the viewer, like the soldiers, try to make sense of what's happening on the battlefield. Special effects are cool, sometimes extremely convincing, and they're not too colorful, in keeping with the gritty realism the movie pretty successfully captures, I think. The score is used with solid yet subtle effect, getting out of the way of the sound effects, which I think sell the chaos and tension so well on their own. But the score becomes more noticeable during some moments of triumph, while still maintaining a somber attitude. This is not Independence Day, okay? This is not that kind of movie. It doesn't feel like Independence Day. It's a little bit more of a realistic take on what... what would happen if aliens started, attacking us? A little bit more realistic. I mean, obviously, we're talking about aliens and alien invasion. There'd be all kinds of crazy stuff. But I'm going off script on my review here, so I'm going to get down a rabbit trail. Anyway, most moments of triumph in this movie are rare and short-lived. So it's very intense. This is not a feel-good movie of humans triumphing, you know. Performances, I think, are all fine, though nothing outstanding here. And this is related to my one area of complaint. Despite the setup of a few Marine characters in the beginning, as soon as they stepped into uniform, I quickly lost track of who was who. So when someone died, I wondered, oh, is that the guy whose wife is pregnant? Instead of immediately reacting the way I should have, like, oh, that's the guy whose wife was pregnant, you know? Most often, I didn't realize which characters were dead until I started asking, hey, what happened to what's-his-name? I haven't heard from him. I'll bet he was the guy that died in that last scene, you know? So this kind of delayed response. So despite taking the time to set up some characters in this movie, similar skin tones, identical helmets, identical uniforms, all that proved to be, and plus the fact that as they get into the combat, you know, there's dirt and crap on their faces, you know, so all of those elements proved to severely cripple my connection with several supporting characters and their stories. A real shame, because you could tell they were making an effort to invest in the characters at the beginning. In terms of worthwhile conversation to be had on the drive home, it's possible you'll find yourself discussing reputation, maybe, in some form, if you really want to bring it up. Nance commits himself to serving the best he can, regardless of the fact that he is seen as a villain or coward. He even willingly takes on responsibilities that will potentially enhance this reputation. So doing the right thing without getting credit is certainly a big part written into that character's plot. However, the ride is so intense that most, I think, will likely just be thinking about survival for 2 hours and just learning to breathe again on the way home. It's rated PG-13 for sustained and intense sequences of war, violence, and destruction, and for language. The quality score I give it is a 9.0 out of 10, and the relevant score a 6.5 out of 10. You might notice some holes in the kinds of things I review. I mostly stick to movies, but if you'd like to join the Spirit Blade Underground by contributing a review, news, or any other kind of geekiness, send a written email or recorded audio file to Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net to get it on this podcast. If you can't record it, you can also record your content for me via phone by calling 206-350-1226 and leaving me a message.
For the best in indie Christian music, as well as reviews, interviews, photos, and a whole lot more, head on over to jtindie.com. Yeah, it's not your mama's podcast.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
doctrine will set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're looking at verses 7 through 11. You might notice that I'm shrinking down the number of verses I'm tackling each week for a little while here. It's just because we're getting into some densely packed stuff with some terminology that I want to be sure I spend a good amount of time with, so we really understand. We don't just kind of blow through this stuff that's really rich in content. So I'm gonna slow down just a little bit in as we get into the middle of Romans here. I'm gonna read verses 7 through 11 of chapter 8 from the ESV version of the Bible, which says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Paul has been contrasting life lived according to sarx. And again, that's a Greek word that's often translated flesh, or I think a less accurate translation would be sinful nature, but I have my issues with flesh as well, so I'm just trying to use the word sarx as we talk about this. But sarx refers to the default mundane tendencies of humans that lead to sin, just kind of the natural way of the world, of the world as it is. So Paul has been contrasting life lived according to sarx and life lived according to God's Spirit. Sarx is naturally hostile to God and his will. Its default is to want what is contrary to good. So when a mind is kind of set in this mode, what is wrong will actually seem and feel right. This mindset is incapable of pleasing God. Even its, quote, good acts are corrupted in some way. As Isaiah describes really well, I think, in Isaiah 64:6, which says, "We have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." We don't have the right perspective on what good is because we are not in the presence of God. One day, we will all be in the presence of God, and we will be blown away, and that's such an understatement, as we understand what good is, what something that's really good actually is. And until then, we just kind of have this relative view, and we, you know, and even, but even like the good deeds that we see people do in history, apart from Christ energizing them, they're corrupted, they just fall far, far short. So the mindset on sarx is unable to truly subject itself to God's will. And those who live in this condition can't please God, no matter how good they may appear when compared to other humans. Look at verses 7 and 8. The NIV uses the phrase "controlled by" in verses 8 and 9 when talking about either sarx or the Spirit, being controlled by either sarx or the Spirit. But this might be misleading. In verse 9, the NIV seems to imply that if the Spirit of God is in us, we will not be controlled by our sarx. But as Paul clearly showed in chapter 7, look at verses 18 and 19, there are numerous times when he did things according to his sarx that he didn't want to do, that he was struggling against, but he did anyway. The more accurate translation of the Greek word en, which the NIV seems to kind of get carried away and turn into controlled by, is simply in. The Greek word en carries the idea of being fixed and remaining. So a person can have God's Spirit in them and still fall victim to sarx at times. That sarx being in the Christian, not the core of who they are, as it is with the non-believer, that Christ has not rescued from that condition yet. But they still can get trapped up in the sticky sarx, the sticky remnant, like a bunch of syrup that's covering their body and just kind of constantly affecting how they live and get through every day. It's only if you and I are constantly living in our sarx, ignoring all of God's expressed will, that we should question whether or not God's Spirit is really in us. all who place their trust in the identity and sacrifice of Jesus have God's Spirit. There's no need to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. He is with you and in you constantly, whether you feel it or not, if you have put your trust in Christ. And that starts at the very moment that you place your trust in Christ. Because of this, believers, by definition, do not live completely stuck in a Sark's mentality. They don't live N Sark's, as it were, despite struggling with their Sark's on a regular, even moment-by-moment basis. Look at verse 9. And although Christians are still subject to physical death, God's Spirit is life itself and lives in us, resulting not only in restored life now, but life through a literal resurrection after the death of our bodies. This life is given to us through the Holy Spirit because of God's righteousness, because of His perfect will and His plan and His standards, His agenda, just what He's all about and what He's got going on. That's why this gift is given to believers through the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 10 and 11. Next week, we're going to take a look at what it means to be adopted by God. And the coffeehouse question for this week, what is one benefit of remembering that God's Spirit is constantly in us, giving us new life and a clean slate? For me, the benefit of that is not getting discouraged by my either my failures or my sin of action or sin of omission. And lately, I'm not usually one that struggles with legalism, with feeling like I have to earn God's love. That's not usually an area I struggle with, but for some reason I have been lately. I've just been looking at wanting to energize my relationship with God and looking at different ways I could go about doing that. And it's just kind of as I've kind of thought about that and spent time contemplating that and spent more time in the Word lately, you know, working through that. One thing that's just kind of hit me is I can't make this happen. I can't earn this relationship. I can't earn it into being better. You know, I'll never be able to reach the model set out by Christ. You know, I'll never be able to match that pattern with my life. And I'm not using that as an excuse. In fact, I'm battling against that tendency to use that as an excuse. Well, why even try? Because, you know, Christ's record is imprinted onto me. And so I get credit for all of His righteousness. You know, why even bother trying? You know, I fight to avoid that. But the other extreme that I've kind of been falling into lately is feeling like, oh, I have to do more. I have to be more and all this kind of stuff. And that's how I will get by my effort. That's how I'll get this better relationship with God. And certainly there's a component of effort involved in any relationship and certainly in a relationship with God. But I think what the benefit lately of remembering that God's Spirit is constantly in me, constantly giving me new life moment by moment and a clean slate moment by moment is just the sense of relief in knowing that, oh, you know what? I can't do it. But nevertheless, when God looks at me, for some mind-blowing reason, in some cosmic transaction I can't understand, He sees the record of the life of Christ lived on my behalf. He looks at me and sees the cleanness, the perfection, the righteousness, for lack of another word, of Christ, and that is a tremendous relief for me as I aim to serve God more and more, and it actually encourages me. It keeps me from being kind of defeated in my, you know, kind of two steps forward, one step back kind of progress. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that, what that means for you. What's one benefit of remembering that God's Spirit is constantly in us, giving us new life and a clean slate as believers? You can email me at paeter@spiritblade.net. Or leave a message I can play on the podcast at 206-350-1226.
Incoming transmission.
Hey, Peter, it's your buddy Dave in California, IA. From the podcast formerly known as The Date of My Son, now currently the Jen and Dave Show. You've played my promo a couple of times, and the first time I heard it, went, "Hey, that's an old promo. Why is Peter still playing it? I gotta tell him." And then I forgot. And then I heard it again. I went, hey, Peter's playing Old Promo. I got to call him. So here I am calling you to tell you that you're playing Old Promo. Not that the Data Visalian is like dead, buried, and gone. It just evolved into the Jen and Dave show because so many people couldn't spell the Jaded Visalian. But I liked the name anyway, so I kept it, but it's like my secret hidden lair, like kind of like Superman has and Batman have like a special place where they just hang out. Well, that's where I hang out without my wife doing, you know, wife things. So I get to do whatever I want. I do like writings and I have my own little podcast and then I do reviews on the Jaded Visalian. But the Jen and Dave show is where my wife and I do our talking stuff. And the coffee talk thing, I don't know how you word it, but what I got is that there's a time in my life where it just happens, where I just feel like me and God are on the same page. And I just get a great feeling of peace and joy and contentment that everything just seems to be where it should be. Everything is just right. And I love that feeling. It's the best. Take care, Peter, and I'll try and get you a new promo. Bye-bye.
Hey, yeah, send me that link to that new promo, Dave. And for all of you guys, if you need a dose of what the crap now and then, the Jen and Dave show is a nice place to go. I'd recommend it. Jacob Facebooked me this week and wrote, hey, Peter, hope you're doing well. Just a quick question for you. I just went out and bought a new cross pendant to wear around my neck. After looking into it, it seems there are lots of people, including Christians, that believe wearing a cross is inappropriate for whatever reason. I guess I'm just wondering if you think it's okay to wear a cross. If so, what would be your reason for wearing one? One person I encountered told me, you're not in church, why are you wearing a cross? And another thinks that you can't make any mistakes, you have to live perfectly if you wear a cross. So my response in that Facebook conversation was interesting question. This is actually kind of an editing together of a longer conversation we had, just kind of the highlights of this, is what I'm giving you here. I said, interesting question. I've heard different reasons for people not wanting to wear crosses. For example, the LDS folks I've spoken to in the past have said they don't wear or use the cross as a symbol because it's a reminder of how Jesus died. And for some context, they don't believe in the redemptive work of the cross in the same way that biblical Christians do. One of them said it would be like wearing a picture of the gun that killed your dad. So that's a little more of the perspective there. Obviously, I disagree with the application of that metaphor. And I'd also disagree with both reasons that were suggested to you, Jacob. The Bible doesn't teach us to compartmentalize our lives. In response to the idea of, you know, you're not in church, you know, so why are you wearing it? So we should be the same people every day that we are on Sunday. I see the concern of the second point, wanting to represent Christ well, but I think we can often represent Christ most powerfully when we fail and follow through with humble admission of our failure. A cross or other Christian identifier, you know, a Christian t-shirt that has some kind of slogan that's obviously from Christian culture or whatever, it may draw attention to your life. That's true. But non-Christian culture, I think, needs to see more examples of flawed yet humble Christians aspiring to do good. Mainstream culture needs to see not just how we succeed in our faith, but also how we handle failure. I want to say they don't need to see us fail. They've seen us fail plenty. They need to see how we handle failure in a biblical, godly way, in the way that honors God, and how we follow through after realizing our failure. I think that could be incredibly powerful. So I don't wear a cross myself. I have a couple t-shirts that I guess would identify me as a Christian. I do try to be maybe a little more aware of myself when I put one on. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I want to be the same person I am all the time, but I think that just does kind of happen, you know. Certainly when I put on the Spirit Blade Productions t-shirt, you know, and walk around with that, I'm like, okay, well, I'm representing Christ, and I'm representing an avenue for people to, a specific avenue that I'm in control of for people to connect, hopefully, with God in a deeper way. So, you know, when I put that shirt on and I go to my comic book store, I'm a little bit more mindful, you know. But I don't think there's anything good or bad by nature inherently, you know, about wearing any kind of Christian identifier. But if anybody else has some thoughts on that, I'd be interested in hearing them. I think it's an interesting point of conversation. Somebody can start up a topic at the forums, spiritblade.net/forums, Anyway, thanks for the question, Jacob. And to everybody, if you ever want to shoot the breeze on any topic or pick my brain on something or whatever, drop me a line anytime. Even when the crap is hitting the fan and I'm in my busiest season, let me tell you, interacting with you guys one-on-one or on the forums or whatever it might be about this kind of stuff, that's one of my favorite things about what I do. It's actually one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing. Even though, you know, I get real jazzed and real focused on all the audio drama stuff and all the other stuff that I'm trying to put together online, those conversations, I cannot tell you what they're worth to me. So don't hesitate to get in touch and just to want to shoot the breeze or pick my brain on something. Author and friend of the show, J.S. Earls, tipped me off to a Tron animated series trailer you can check out by searching Tron Uprising on YouTube. Looks very cool, and I will definitely be watching the premiere on that. Just in closing, some quick reminders. Again, the Road Trip Reduction Sale to make your traveling a little more exciting this spring break. 30% off all digital download products through Saturday, March 19th. Just go to spiritblade.net. There's an easy link to our store right there. Also, mark your calendar for March 26th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Mountain Standard Time. That's where we're having the live chat for Pilgrim's Progress Similitude of a Dream. It's a free event. You just need your own downloaded copy of the project to follow along to. And we're going to have it in the chat box that we've just set up at spiritblade.net/forums. So you just go there, sign in, and jump onto the chat box at the bottom of the page. That's March 26th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you're interested in getting the Spirit Blade Enhanced audiobook entirely for free, the power is in your hands. It's sitting here waiting to be unleashed on the world for free, but I need your help to make that happen. You can go to spiritblade.net/audiobook for details. I need 7 suggestions in total, just 5 more to go, guys, 5 more. Participation rules and info on the bonus prize involved for the best suggestion. You can go to spiritblade.net/audiobook. So it's a community effort, but also there's an opportunity for you individually, just by your own involvement in that, to get a prize. So you can check out all the info there, spiritblade.net/audiobook. And lastly, of course, if you haven't checked out the interview I had with New York Times bestselling fantasy author Brent Weeks, you do not want to miss it, and you don't want to miss out on pointing people to it. I think it can be a great conversation starter with that fantasy novel fan in your life. So you can just point them to spiritblade.net/Brent Weeks for both parts of that interview. That's it for this week, guys. There's lots of cool movies coming out, and I'm stoked for all of them, so I'm sure I'm going to have another one to review for you next week. In the meantime, have a great week, and whatever you're doing, let's you and I do what we can to seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.